The following is a recording of the Sunday morning service of Rangeville Community Church.
Thanks, Richard. Good morning, everyone. In just a little while, we'll stop and have tea and coffee. For some of you, when you think of morning tea, you think of something to eat with it. I've just got a simple question. What's your favourite biscuit? All right, so some of you got various favourites. When I think of biscuits, I think some like gingerbreads, where you take the cookie cutter and you press it in and every single bicky finishes up being exactly the same. They can be quite intricate, quite detailed, but they're all the same because they're made with a cookie cutter. But then there are those biscuits where you pick up the dough and you roll it round in your hand and you put it on a biggie tray and you squash it flat with a fork. You know what I mean? Or you roll it round, you put it down on the biggie tray and you put your thumbprint in it. You know? And when you think about those biscuits, there is something extra special about that extra ingredient. And if you think I'm talking about the jam, I'm not. I'm talking about the love that goes into making those biscuits. It makes them taste better. And if you've got an issue with what I'm saying, take it up with your grandma. Because grandma's home cooking, there's something special about it, isn't it? And maybe if you're just remembering back to what your grandma's cooking was like. You know, every one of those biscuits is slightly different. It looks a little bit different, but and they all taste great. Every one of them is unique and special. And there is a parallel with that and you. Because every one of you is unique and slightly different. And when God made you, he didn't use a cookie cutter. He didn't sort of go in and go next, next, next. You're not all the same. You're all different. You've got unique DNA. You've got a unique personality. You've got different gifts and skills and abilities that he has given you. And it's that combination of what you look like and your personality and your gifts and abilities that combined give you your unique identity. And I think when God made you, there's an extra special ingredient, which is that love with which he created you. And when you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Saviour, your unique identity is not just your biology, it's not just your psychology, it's also your spirituality. Because God created you in body, soul, and spirit. And followers of Jesus Christ are filled with the presence of God. The Holy Spirit dwells in you. And you have a unique and precious personality and personhood that makes you you. And you have a unique identity. It's called being a child of God, being a son or daughter of God. And so, as his child, can I encourage you, seek to live the life that he's called you to live. Seek to live the life that he intends for you. Use your time, your resources, your gifts in the unique way that he's created you to be. And use them to bring glory and honour to God. Because the reality is, when you are living the life God's called you to live, when you are doing what it is that God wants you to do, that's when you flourish most. That's when you have the greatest joy in life. That's when you feel as though you are making a difference because you're doing what it is that God created you to do. Because every one of you have got different people in your lives that God has called you to reach out to touch, to influence in some way. For some of you, it's your work colleagues. For some, it's your friends. For some, it's your family, your children, your parents, your spouse. Whoever it is, every one of you has got a different and unique circle of people around about you that God has given to you. That you would minister to them, that you would love them. You have been placed to have a unique God impact in their lives. And what you do flows from who you are. If you are a mother, loving children flows out of your identity as a mother. Is that true, mums? It's true for every one of us that what we are to do should flow out of who we are. And our society is increasingly struggling with this intersection between a person of who they are and what they do. So when we look at our society in Australia, we're pretty obsessed about sport. True? Australia loves sport. We applaud remarkable sports people. We celebrate their incredible abilities. Some of the things that our athletes achieve on the court or on the field is remarkable. And we hold these people up and say, aren't they amazing? And then suddenly in the media, there is a headline that says so-and-so was drunk and sexually assaulted someone. Or so-and-so has been involved in domestic violence. And suddenly there's this debate around, are they a suitable ambassador for their sport? No one's questioning their incredible sports ability. They're questioning who the person is. And so there's this challenge between who someone is and what they do. And this is the challenge for us. We are ambassadors of Jesus Christ. We should be setting an example in what we do because of who we are. Because of our identity. If we know our identity as a child of God, then that should influence what we do and how we do it. And I didn't bring the clicker up with me. So now that I have, what we do should flow from who we are. And this is just a truth that we discover. If we know our identity as a child of God, if we are living according to the Word of God, if we are filled with the Holy Spirit, if we are seeking to walk and manifest the fruit of the Spirit and using the gifts of the Spirit, then what we do should flow from who we are. Last year, we spent some time looking at the kingdom of God. And the framework that we used in looking at the kingdom of God was like this. We are God's people in God's place, living under God's rule and blessing. And we looked at this in a bit more detail where we saw God's people. What does it mean to be the people of God? It's knowing our identity, that we are sons and daughters of a God who knows us and loves us, that God has created you with unique personality and gifts and abilities. And then God has placed you in a certain place and a certain environment, a certain context with certain people around about you. Each of you are an ambassador for God in that place. Again, whether that be your workplace, whether that be your sports club, community group, your street, wherever it is, that for that season of your life, that's the place where you are to be revealing the goodness of God, the presence of God, to be light and hope and healing in that place. Each of us who have accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior know that Jesus is our King. And when we talk about kingdom, kingdom means the domain of the King. So in other words, what is the place where we see God's rule? And what does it mean to live according to the ways of God, according to the Word of God? What's it mean to live under the leading and empowering of the Holy Spirit in our lives? That's what it means to live within the ways of God, God's rule. And we are blessed by God. And we're blessed by God in order that we would be a blessing, that we'd reveal the goodness of God to the community, to the place where God has us in that season of our lives. And God has created every single one of you uniquely, differently, as His sons and daughters. in the place where he has you in this season, living under God's rule and blessing. And when we live like this, we are kingdom-minded people. We're releasing the kingdom of God. In the same way that God has done that for each of you as people, I believe God has created local churches within the kingdom of God. And just as God did not use a cookie cutter for every one of you, I don't believe he uses a cookie cutter for churches. Local churches are made up of God's people. Every local church has a certain place. That might be a geographical place for Rangeville Community Church. That's fairly self-evident. We're in the suburb of Rangeville. But it's not just about geography. It might be a certain socio-demographic group. It might be a certain cultural gathering or group of people. Every church is meant to thrive under God's rule. In other words, seeking to be grounded in the Word of God and led and empowered by the Holy Spirit. And every local church is meant to be a blessing, to be a blessing to our community. That where God has placed us, our community should be better off because we're here. And the churches of this city, working in unity, each with a different style, each with a different group of people, are meant to reach different people in our city and in our region. You see, if we're all made using a cookie cutter, we'd be all trying to reach the same people, wouldn't we? But that's not God's intention. God intends that each church would be able to reach a different group of people. So that collectively, as churches work together, as they seek to love one another and bless one another, the people in our city would be blessed because the church is bringing God's goodness into our city. And so over the next weeks, this is going to be our focus. Who are we as Rangeville Community Church? What's our identity? Who's God's called us to be and what's he called us to do? What's he require us of us? What is it God wants of us? And as we start this year, I want to help all of us come to an understanding of what this is. Because for some of you, Rangeville's been your church all of your life. You were born into this church. You've lived in this church for maybe months or for years or for decades. For some of you, you've been part of this church for a few years. For some of you, this might be your first Sunday. And you get to hear today, this is who we are. As God is preparing us for the season ahead, we need to know who God's called us to be. Now, I know this is different from our usual style of messages where we take scriptures and we seek to understand those scriptures in the context of when they were written and who they were written to, and then we seek to understand that for our lives today and how we're going to live in accordance with God's word through understanding scriptures. That's the way that I typically preach and those preaching here typically preach. But we really feel that at this season, for us to step into what God wants us to step into, we've got to understand who God's called us to be. Because, you see, we come from this principle that what we do should flow from who we are. And we have to understand who we are. Just as it applies to people, it applies to local churches. So who is Rangeville Community Church? And I'm not talking about denomination, I'm not talking about location, but who are we? Because if we know who we are, then we can be playing our part in the kingdom of God. So let me go back a little into our journey of discovering who God called Rangeville to be. And in some ways this was first clarified back in about 2007 when we were writing our mission statement. And to do that, we took three different and concurrent approaches. The first of these was a future-looking aspect. We had all of our elders and all of our ministry team spend a week in prayer and fasting, asking God, would you please show us what you have for our future? What is your heart for this church? And each person at the end of the week was asked to take a 1A4 page and to write what they believe God was showing them. And so we then collated all of those A4 pages. We went through the highlighter pen and we just simply highlighted what are all of the key things that each person in our eldership and ministry team believes God is showing us about our future. And then we just simply counted up what are those key themes or key words that we believe God was showing us. And these were the key words: healing, freedom and community. They are the three most popular and common words that were being shown. The second thing we did was we looked at our past. And so we looked at what had been the most significant, effective, talked about ministries or aspects in the life of the church. And one of the first things that came up was a scripture. And it was a scripture that was published on the top of our Rangeful Life every week. We talked about it a lot. 1 John 4:19. We love because he first loved us. This aspect of what's it mean to be loved, that we in turn would reveal love, that we would be love. And then we looked at ministries over the previous years, and we saw that one of our ministries, Freedom Life, was having a significant effect in the area of healing and freedom. We looked at a divorce recovery ministry that ministered to hundreds of people across this city, that was setting people free from hurt and pain and rejection. And we saw the healing and the freedom that came through that. We looked at our gatherings and this sense of love and freedom that was present. And so again, we looked at what are these key aspects? And these three words continued to come up: love, healing, and freedom. Now, someone might say, well, hang on, so far you've asked the elders and ministry team to fast and pray and talk about your future, or you've looked at your own ministry. So this is very inward looking. Well, we then went to other pastors in the city and we said, when you look at Rangeful Community Church, what do you see? We wanted to get an outside view of how others saw us. And when other pastors spoke about what they saw in Rangeful, the most common word that people spoke about was healing. They said that they knew of people who came to Rangeful Church that had been hurt spiritually, emotionally, and they came for a season to be part of that of Rangeful Church to experience emotional and spiritual healing. They were aware of people who had been prayed for who'd experienced physical healing. And other pastors in the city knew this and talked about it. And they said, that's what we see, is this healing aspect to who you are. And so from this, it was really clear that there were these key words of love, healing, freedom and community. And so from that, we wrote our mission statement. Well, what's a mission statement? A mission statement is really a very short, pithy sentence that says this is who we are and what we're called to do. Now, there's lots of different ways people can interpret mission statements, but that's the context in which we wrote our mission statement. Who are we and what are we called to do? And writing our mission statement became really easy. It became bringing love, healing and freedom to the community through Jesus Christ. That's what we were known to be by other pastors in the city and others. It's what we believe we have been called to do. Now, before we look at this into more detail, we've continued to reflect on this along with this principle that what we do flows from who we are. If, as a church over these last few years, we've continued to talk a lot about identity, because people's understanding of their own identity has a massive influence on how they live their lives. And we've sought to understand a lot more about our own identity. And so the way that our mission statement is currently written focuses a lot on what we do. We bring love, healing and freedom. But in actual fact, it should also be who we are. We're meant to be love. We're meant to be people of healing. We're meant to be people who know freedom in Christ. We're meant to be bringing that love, healing and freedom in order that we would bless our community through Jesus Christ. So what's it mean to be a church of love, healing and freedom that blesses our community through Jesus Christ? So this morning I just want to go through and quickly unpack these various aspects of our mission statement. More so, I want you to think about in the context of who we are. In 2 weeks' time, I'm going to talk a lot more about love. So I'll just give a brief introduction at this stage. And that is 1 Corinthians 13, verse 13, says that love is the greatest. It says that love is the greatest of all things. And when we reflect on this word love, it was the love of God that sent his Son. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son for us. His Son who came to die on the cross for us. It was the love of Jesus that held him there through the pain and suffering, that held him on the cross. It was his love for you that caused him to go through what he went through. It was the love of Jesus that resulted in his sacrificial loving death for us, to deal with sin, to break the power of sin, that we can be set free. And the barrier of sin between us and God could be broken, that we can come into that relationship with God as his children, to live with the hope of Christ in our lives. Because love is the greatest, we chose to put love first. Being and bringing love, healing and freedom. As I said earlier, a key passage in the life of this church has been 1 John 4:19. We love because he first loved us. We think of Hebrews 10:24 that says, "Let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds." We're called to spur each other on in love, to encourage one another in love, to be recognized as people who love God, who love one another, who love our neighbor as ourselves. We're encouraged to be people who truly love God, who truly love one another, who truly love our neighbor. And through that, we seek to reach those in need within our church and in our community. 2 years ago, we spent some time looking at a blessing, the significance of blessings, the power of blessings, and we talked about a blessing for Rangeville Community Church. And I know a number of you have that. We printed them out, and some of you have them in your Bibles. I know some of you have got them on your fridges. And you continue to talk about them and pray about them and speak them out every day. I speak this out as a blessing over our church every day. And let me just take two parts of this blessing, and that is a blessing for this church, that God would help us to be or make us a people who honour God in all we do, loving God first and foremost, and through that loving our neighbour as ourselves. That God would bless us, cause Rangeville to be a safe, loving and accepting place where people grow in their love of God and one another. You know, when we release this as a blessing over our church, what we're saying is that we want to be a church that truly loves God and loves people. To be God's people in God's place, the appointed place that he has placed us as a church, where people can come together, where people can come and meet people who love them as they are, accept them where they are, but also help them journey to discover what it means to be loved. To help them discover what it means to love God and to love others. Secondly, we have this word healing. And healing has been a really strong element for this church for many years, as you've already heard this morning. Let me just pick up on two areas. One is the ministry of Freedom Life. And Freedom Life is a gentle, Spirit-led ministry. It's guided by the Holy Spirit. It's based on the Word of God. It's well-grounded in the Word of God to bring healing into our lives by discovering who we are as God's children, who God is as revealed through the Word of God. It involves people who are operating in the gifts of the Spirit, seeking to discern what God is saying, helping people who may be impacted by the effect of sin or hurt in their past, that they would be able to be set free from that, to become increasingly who God's called them to be. That's why Freedom Life in the last few years has been shifted into our discipleship area of ministries, because we see that as disciples of Jesus Christ, we want to be set free from the sin and the things of our past to help us become the person God desires us to be. And so through Freedom Life, we have regularly seen people experience incredible healing. Often that's emotional healing, often that's spiritual healing. There are times where we have seen people experience physical healing as well, and healing from mental health conditions as well. Freedom Life is an amazing ministry. If you're not familiar with it, I encourage you to find out more about it. You can have a look on our website or have a chat with me or others afterwards. But it's more than Freedom Life. That's just one aspect of healing. For many years, we've been known to be a church where people who've often been hurt, in whether that be by churches or by other situations in life, to come and to just simply be here and to experience a season of love and grace where they may experience healing by the goodness of God. For some, that they come for a short season. For some, they stay and become part of the family in the long term, as God's love and grace just gently restores people in their faith in God and in the church. And there's a great joy in that. And then there's many different and other aspects of healing as well. So again, what's it mean to be a church of healing? Let's again draw on the words of this blessing that we spoke on. That God would cause us to experience the presence of God and be empowered by the Holy Spirit so that people can see visions, hear from God clearly, and experience the supernatural power of God to receive and release healing in body, soul and spirit. So we want to be a church that is empowered by the Holy Spirit, where we believe God is still healing people today in response to prayers. We believe that God still speaks through His Word and by His Holy Spirit to guide us how to minister with love and grace. And that love and grace in itself can at times bring healing. At other times, it's through people operating in the gifts of the Spirit, where they are discerning, where God is revealing what is needed for help, to help people experience healing, whether that be spiritually, emotionally, or physically. The third word for Rangeville in who we are is this word freedom. And freedom is about helping people discover freedom from sin in different areas of their life. How? By discovering freedom in Christ. In Luke chapter 4, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, confirmed the fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy from Isaiah 61 when Jesus stood up in his local synagogue and he said, "He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoner." And here Jesus is talking about spiritual freedom. See, we have all been captive to sin. We've all had sin that's wrapped us up and caught us up in our past in some way. And Jesus came and through his sacrificial and powerful death brought us into freedom from the power of sin through forgiveness of our sins. And so we can be made free to live the life that God intended us to live. And when we accept that freedom, then it starts to flow over into areas of our lives in many different ways. And there are many different expressions of this. Let me just pick up on one. And that's particularly relevant to this morning as we gather here to worship God through song. And when we look around the auditorium, you'll see that many people express freedom in the way that they worship. There are some people who are sitting during the time that we worship, because they're just sitting in the presence of God. And for them, that is, they are free to express worship in that way. For some, it's because it's difficult or painful to stand, or to stand, and so they remain seated. But for some, just want to sit. There are some of you who like to stand in worship and not sing. Maybe you're not comfortable with singing. Maybe you don't know the words. Maybe there could be a number of reasons. But for some, you just like to stand and just be in the presence of God. For some people, you love to stand and sing. And that joy that you have in singing is part of your way of expressing worship and glory and honour to God. There are some, when I look around the auditorium, who are standing, singing, and you've got your arms raised. And you're free to do that. And that's the freedom you have to worship God that way. And some of you will have noticed that there are some who are standing, singing, and are waving banners. And that's the way that they feel that they are to worship God and honour and glorify God. And they have the freedom to do that. You see, every single one of these different ways of worshipping God can be found in Scripture. It's found in the Word of God. And so we seek to walk this balance of allowing each of you to express worship in the way that God created you to, and in the way that you feel that you can worship God. But at the same time, we do also, on 1 Corinthians 14:40, but everything should be done in a fitting and orderly way. How do you balance the freedom with a fitting and orderly way? That's a hard road to walk, isn't it? But it's one that we seek to walk, that we can be a church that allows freedom in worship on a biblical foundation. There are many different other examples of freedom, but that's just one that this morning I felt to unpack and explain. The fourth word is the word community. And community is there because we're called to be Rangeville Community Church. And so, as many of you know, I love to understand the origin of words, to understand why a word has come about and what it means. And so let's look at the word community. It comes from two Latin words, con, which means together, and munis, which means performing service. So when we look at the definition of the word community, it means actually a group of people who meet together with a common interest in order to serve one another or to serve others. That's the original wording of the meaning of the word community. Their interest may be their geography. If you are in a rural community, where you live, your geography causes you to be together in that place. If you are in the community of Toowoomba, your geography causes you to be part of this community. But there are many other communities. Communities may be gathered around a sport. Community may be gathered around a hobby. Community may be gathered around faith. In each of these, it is a group of people who come together. And through sharing together, serving one another, that's what makes them a community. And in many cases, it also then means serving others outside that group as well. And so this is our heart, to serve one another and to serve our wider community. So for us, community is both within the church and outside the church. So within the church, the community for us is a group of people who come together because of our love for Jesus Christ. Christ is at the center. We gather together through Jesus Christ. We express love, healing, and freedom in our community in such a way, we pray, that others would see it and be attracted to it. Okay, that's a beautiful expression of community. I'd love to be part of that. I'd love to experience that. But God has not called us just to minister within the four walls of the church. He's called us to bless our wider community as well. And that's why we encourage many people in this church to be involved in other ministries in our city. And according to your time availability, according to your resources, according to your passion, we've sought to encourage people to be involved in a whole range of different local community missional activities. And so some examples of that would be Winter Shelter, where for the last 2 years, and again this year, we will be part of Winter Shelter, where for one night a week we will have homeless people come in. They'll be given a beautiful, freshly cooked meal. They'll be given a safe place to sleep. They'll have a shower. They'll have people who just accept them as they are and can spend time with them. They'll be able to sleep overnight. The next morning they'll be given breakfast and head out for the day. That's a beautiful expression of serving our community. Or it might be the fact that every week of the school year, we're at the local high school at Centenary Heights, and we provide brekkie for a couple of hundred kids a couple of mornings a week. Why? Because when we went to the school and said, what would help? They said to us, you know what, we've got kids who get to school and haven't eaten a thing. And they're hungry, and they play up because they're hungry, and it would make a difference if they could have some food. And so we provide brekkie for a couple of hundred kids a couple of mornings a week. That's a way of simply serving our community and loving our community. We encourage with Teen Challenge, and there are some people in this church who volunteer with Teen Challenge, helping people struggling with addictive patterns or lifestyles. And so to encourage and bless and support them. It's why we support a number of chaplains in a number of different schools across our city, But you see, we see this as the justice of God. This is the mercy of God expressed through God's people in this place to bless our community. Because that's what the kingdom of God is all about. God's people in God's place, living according to God's ways to be a blessing. It's why we talk a lot about what's it mean for you to be in your family, your street, your workplace, your community group. Because we want to reveal the truth of who God is. His love, his justice, his mercy, his creativity, the various aspects of his character. And so finally, we want to be being and bringing love, healing and freedom to the community through Jesus Christ. See, Rangeville's not just a service club. There are some wonderful service clubs in our community that do incredible and wonderful work. But for Rangeville, it's much more than that. We're the children of God, releasing the kingdom of God, revealing the love of God. We want to bless our community by helping others in our community experience love, healing, and freedom. We want to bless our community that God would be using us to play a small part in restoring it back to the way God intended it to be, according to his character, his attributes, love, justice, mercy, creativity. There are many others as well. And we are who we are because of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We can only bring love, healing, and freedom through Jesus Christ. There is no other way. For us to be playing our part in restoring this community back to the way God intended it to be, it has to be done through Jesus Christ. And so, as we become the people that God calls us to be, as we bring love, healing, and freedom to our community, we pray that we will love each other more and help others experience the love of God more. We pray that we will experience healing in our own lives, and in turn, that we'll play a part in bringing healing into the lives of others. We pray that we will experience freedom from things that have held us back in our lives, whether they be our circumstances, whether that be past hurts or traumas or resentment or unforgiveness. Why? That in turn we would help others experience freedom in those areas in their lives. We look forward to meeting together as a community. And at Rangeville there are many different expressions of that. But let me just put it simply this way. We would encourage people to be part of a small group. That small group might be a life group. It might be a prayer group where there might be just a small number of people who gather together regularly to love each other, to unpack the Word of God together, to be able to do what God has called them to do, to love, learn and do. And so that aspect of small groups is a really important way where people can get to actually know one another well, and care for one another well, and share life's joys and challenges. But it's also important that there are medium-sized groups where people can gather. And a wonderful example would be a Word Cafe that gathers here as a group of ladies on a Tuesday morning. It would be youth group on a Friday night. It would be Grace Girls on a Friday night. It could be the men's morning teas. These are all gatherings of maybe somewhere between 20 and 50 or 60 people that gather together as that medium-sized group. And then we also seek to gather as a larger group on a Sunday morning, as we are right now, that we would gather together to worship God and hear the Word of God and seek to apply that. You see, we want to be a community together, whether that's in a small group, medium group or large group, to discover the goodness of God, to experience his justice and mercy and release that to our community. As a church, our ministry should all flow from who we are, who God's called us to be. And as I said earlier, God doesn't use a cookie-cutter approach. We have to acknowledge we're not the same as the church down the street, nor should we be. Because of who God called them to be, they're going to reach another group of people and they're going to serve another group of people in the unique way that God has called them to do that. But what we need to do is discover who God's called us to be, and from that do what God's called us to do and do it the way God has called us to do it. grounded in the Word of God, led and empowered by the Holy Spirit to be the people of God. And so we would seek to be God's people, gathered together in this place that God's called us to be, living under God's rule, the Word of God and the leading and empowering of the Holy Spirit, seeking to experience God's blessings and release God's blessings to our community. And when we do this, this is what it means to be a kingdom-minded church. That we would release the kingdom of God in the unique way that God's called us to do it. And there's incredible joy in that and challenge. And so as we wrap up this morning, typically I'd have a slide that says, well, what have you heard God saying to you today and what are you going to do with what you've heard? This morning I'm going to do it a little bit differently. I want you to just reflect on what's up on the screen here, where you ask yourself the question, what's it mean for me to know who I am? What's it mean for me to know what it means to be God's child, to be part of the people of God? Or maybe it's a question, God, what's the place that you have for me right now? And that place might be in your family. That place might be in your workplace. It might be in your community group. It might be the street he's placed you in. But God, what's your intention for me in that place? God, what are you saying through the Word of God? What are you prompting me with through the Holy Spirit? What are the gifts you've given me that I would operate in those? God, how have you called me to be a blessing? To bless those around me? To bless my family, my workplace, my community group, my street? And so you have to answer all those questions. Just reflect on what God is highlighting to you right now, and just take a minute now to reflect and pray. Father God, thank you so much for your incredible love. Lord God, we want to glorify you. We want to bring praise and glory and honour to you through who we are and from that what it is that you're asking us to do and the way you're asking us to do it. We want to be the people right now that you're calling us to be. We want to be preparing for the future that you have in store for us. Father God, help us to know our identity as your children. Individually and collectively as a church. Help us, Lord, to understand this place and this season that we're in. That again, Lord, you'd be glorified. Lord, help us to just align so strongly with the Word of God and with the leading and empowering of the Holy Spirit that, Lord, we'd be built on the foundation of your Word and led into, Lord, the things that you would have for us as a church. Lord God, thank you for your blessings. There are so many blessings that we see that you've given us. And Lord, we believe so much that we're blessed to be a blessing. So Lord, we pray that you would help us to reach out and bless our community, that Lord, we'd play our part in revealing the very attributes and character of God, your love, your justice, your mercy, your creativity, and so many other aspects as well. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I pray for each person who's gathered here this morning, each person who is online, that, Lord, you would be just speaking to them this week, leading them, equipping them, encouraging them, empowering them, Lord, to be your people in the place you have for them. That, Lord, they would be that beautiful blessing right now, right where they are in this season. So, Lord, we thank you again for who you've called us to be. Lord, we love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
concludes our sermon recording. Thank you for listening. If you have any questions or require further information, please contact our church office on 07463611144, or you can email us office@rangeville.com.